All right, check it out. The creepy clown craze has acquired a whole new layer of strangeness after the much-anticipated Clown Lives Matter rally. It was scheduled for today, but it was canceled due to death threats at the Clown Lives Matter rally. Conceived as a celebration of uncorrupted clowning, the gathering that was to be held in Tucson over the weekend has been called off by the organizer. It just gets stranger, doesn't it? Check out the full article right now over at coasttocoastam.com. Our guest tonight, Chris Medina. He is a psychic. He's a medium. He just got back from the Omen House, and he's been having visits from Bill Cooper, and that is Chris Medina's world. More of your phone calls with Chris right after this short break. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast. We've got back to phone calls here. So our guest tonight is Chris Medina, and I want to just squeeze in as many as we can. So let's go with Ishmael, west of the Rockies, Phoenix, Arizona. Yeah, welcome to Coast.
Yeah.
You're live, Ishmael.
Yes, sir. How are you guys?
We're good. We're good. What do you have for Chris?
Okay, Chris, I got a story for you, and then just a quick question. My story is about maybe less than 10 years ago, I was living in Pasadena. I had a studio, and about 2 or 3 in the morning, I'm guessing. I'm not quite sure if that was the time, but I'm asleep. I'm alone. All of a sudden, I wake up, and I was facing the wall. I turn right, and there's a man standing over me. And I do a double take. You know, I turn to the wall again, and I look back, and he lifts his hand, he waves at me, and he smiles, and he just literally disappears right in front of me, and then I just go right back to bed. Have you ever experienced that or heard anything like that before? Does that sound like anything to you?
Yeah, that happens to me almost all the time.
Okay, like I didn't recognize this man or whatever. He was wearing, I can't remember his pants, but he was wearing like a red flannel shirt, it seemed. He had like jet black hair that was combed back. And like, I don't want to say his eyes were black in a scary manner, but I can't recall what his eyes were. But like, it's just, you know, so I guess he just had, you know, black eyes, whatever. But then he smiled and, you know, like I said, he waved and then he just disappeared. And over the years, I thought the reason why it happened was because maybe I was in a state of where like they knew or something knew that if it wanted to approach me in that manner, it would, and I wouldn't be frightened or whatnot. But does that sound about right, or what's your take?
Yeah, that's what happens with me because I'm so active during the days. They'll come to me at night. I call those passerbys.
Okay.
And they'll just come. Yeah, they'll, the way that it works for me is I can feel them. I'll actually wake up and look up and see something there. And if I don't recognize it, or I would mean to say, go away, or I'm sleeping, or I'll say, not tonight.
Yeah, thank you for the phone call, Ishmael. And let me ask you this, Chris, when that does happen, should you attempt communication? Should you say something? Because when it happened to me, I wanted to fight. I wanted to get physical. I felt an invasion. You know, I felt violated because it was in my home. What should we do when something like that actually happens?
It happens so fast. By the time people recognize what's going on, the entity, the spirit, the energy is already gone. But if it lingers around you, it's there for more than, you know, a couple seconds. Ask yes, or, you know, don't. A lot of times people want to talk crap to it. You know, like David had mentioned,
right,
you know,
right,
disrespecting it or something. No. Ask what if it's not harming you or doing the, you know, they're reaching out for a reason.
And what about the waving of the hand? I thought that was interesting.
I had a little girl come to me when I was eight years old, and I thought it was my sister. I used to sneak into my sister's room to sleep with her. I'd get so scared at night. I woke up because I felt something there, and it was what I thought was my sister at the time. Was a little girl waving at me, waiting to go use the restroom.
Right. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's go to the wild card. Caroline in Omaha. Caroline, welcome to Coast. You're up next.
Hi. Chris, I just want to say I'm a huge fan. I actually learned of you through Malz's Please Advise podcast. And ever since then, I have just been trying to listen to you every single podcast you've been on. I follow you on social media. You just favorited my tweet tonight. And I just want to say I'm a huge fan. And you just seem so genuine and actually like a real person that I connect with. And I've been trying to like manifest you into my life because of it. And I think this is happening now. But anyways, my question is, I'm a funeral director and a mortician, and I deal with a lot of people. We deal with probably over 2,000 bodies a year. And I was just wondering if being in contact and helping these people, you know, during the preparation and stuff like that, could there be any negative consequences where maybe like these spirits would follow me and like affect my personal life or, you know, my emotions or anything that I need to worry about following me or kind of being latched onto me?
All right, Caroline, let me jump in before Chris answers. I think I need to be asking you that question. I think you're the professional here.
Funeral home during school and
right.
Weird things that would happen every now and then. But other than that, like I haven't felt it ever since I've been working at my current position. But I've had some things happen. I mean, I just feel like, Chris, you can give me the right answer.
I don't feel anything negative. I think that you would definitely pick up on it. Are you the one with the black hair in the picture?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that you would definitely pick up on that energy if it was bad. I think, to me, it feels like you have a sense of responsibility when you do it. Like you're respecting what you're doing at the time that you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense? Like a lot of times, I do a lot of readings for nurses or people that work in the medical field, and, you know, they have a hard time when the people pass over. You know, they're like, you know, what do I do? It's just the energy that they carry that makes that person feel comfortable as they're passing through. So as long as to me, it would feel like you would pick up on that.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the phone call.
I'll be reading from you soon. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely, Caroline. Have a great, safe Halloween.
I will. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. All right, let's go to Tracy. Let's go to Wild Card, Tracy, in South Roxana, Illinois. You're up next on Coast.
Hello. Me and my oldest daughter had moved into my mother's house 4 years ago when she had a stroke, and she passed last year. But her house is huge, and it's like 100 years old. It was originally built for three Spencer sisters. Two of them I know died in that house, and one of them used to mess with my daughter. She'd always sit on her bed and pull her covers off her, wouldn't allow her to sleep at night. And when the kids went on vacation and I blessed the house, that since she never bothered me, not sure whether she's still there or not, but what I really want to know is, are my parents there?
Are your parents in the house where the three spinster ladies were? I got you.
They both died in that house also.
All right. Thank you for the phone call, Tracy. Have a great, safe Halloween. What do you think about that, Chris?
It doesn't feel... I feel like there that... whatever energy is in, that is there is older than the parents' energy. That's what I'm picking up on. I don't feel her parents are. I feel like whoever was, the energy seems older there. I guess the right word I'm looking for is that they're telling you the original energy. I don't know if that makes any sense to the caller.
Right. Right. Well, let's go to first-time caller. Let's go to Lavona in Turner Valley. You're up next on Coast.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're live.
How are you?
Say hi to Chris.
Good morning, Chris, and thank you guys for taking my call. I have a question for you. Ever since my husband passed away, it'll be a year in October 22nd. Actually, my life has just been tipped right upside down, and my health as well, and I just wondered what you saw in my future. And I have another question too, and it's...
Lavona, what's the other question? We're going to be up against a break here.
The other question is, for many years I've had somebody tapping me on the shoulder three times, and I've asked who it is, and I've gotten no answers.
Okay. Thank you for the phone call, Lavona. Let's find out.
My call.
All right.
Lavona, you, there's a lot of stuff that you're going to be having to come to terms with within the next, I'm going to put out the next year is going to be kind of rough for you. You're going to be going through some emotional changes, things that you're going to be forced to deal with that are no longer, that you can't take with you in the future. Does that make sense to you? Things that you have to let go. There's a lot of guilt, and there's a lot of, when I say guilt, guilty feelings about certain things and things that you're holding on to emotionally that you're not willing to give up. I think that what I'm getting right now is that sometimes you like to dwell in that, I'm not trying to be rude or disrespectful, but sometimes you dwell in that depression. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, and do you find that, I wanted to ask you about she had a second question, she's no longer with us, but the taps on the shoulder, when that happens and it's actually physical, you know, as opposed to something else, what's going on there?
I've been getting lots of readings where people are getting physical signs or things that are in front of them. To me, as being a psychic medium, you know, in being able to recognize those things, sometimes people don't, and they actually need those physical taps. She needs to pay attention to what's really going on. I mean, I give readings to kids that are coming into their abilities, and their guides or angels, whatever you want to call them, that help them out. Give them their signs so specifically, and they still can't see it in front of them. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It does. Yeah. And I wanted to, before I let this thought get away from me, Chris, I want to go back to Bill Cooper for a second.
Yeah.
He ended up visiting you quite a few times. What was the mood, and what do you think he was trying to, because I understand the CDC and the laboratory, and there was something, you know, that was dramatic that was about to happen. But why was he coming to you, and what was he trying to say? Was there something that he needed you to get out there to the world?
Yeah, the impression I got was, this is how I feel, and I'm, you know, people are like, oh, well, I don't know about that. I felt the reason why he came to me directly was because of the way that I do my readings, the way that I approach him. So I'm very direct when it comes to my readings, and there's no BS with me. What he did was he opened my mind to things that I didn't really give a crap about before, like political stuff, things that I wouldn't even involve myself in, that he opened my eyes to. He kind of like switched it on.
Right.
Again, from chemtrails to military stuff, even aliens. I mean, I had a visit. I think I told you that on your first show, that alien that came to visit me, it was because of him.
Right.
Yeah, he wanted to open my eyes to it, and he would tell me, look at this and tell me what you get from it. And I would tell him, this is what I'm getting. It was like little tests. And then he just, again, when he was done and it was over with, he was gone.
Which Bill Cooper was he? Was he the angry, yelling Bill Cooper? Was he the kind, sensitive, soft Bill Cooper, which, you know, he had that side of him too as well? I mean, which, you know, the pounding of the fist Bill Cooper, which one was he?
It was both. He started to get nice towards the end. I wouldn't go far as to say nice. He got a little bit more patient towards the end. But at the very beginning, he was really rude and insistent. You get a pen and paper, and you keep it by your bed. And if you can't do that, you get a voice recorder so you can record what I'm telling you when you wake up, because you forget.
Yeah, you sound like Bill right now, believe it or not. And you did. That was the thing. You took extensive notes. You wrote everything down, didn't you?
Everything. My friend has journals of stuff that I, because again, she was more involved in the conspiracy type theories, and I would call and say, what does this mean? What is this? I'm seeing, she's showing me this country where they're wearing green uniforms, the flag is this or whatever, blah blah blah, and she's like, oh, you're picking up this and that. And then when the elections were taking place, he was talking about Obama and how when he leaves that there's going to be, he went into that whole story, told me about summits that were just a lot of different things that I had to write. I had no idea about.
Did he talk about the day that he was shot?
No. Mm-mm.
Did he talk about his happiness on the other side and where he was? Was there any discussion like that?
No, he was, the feeling I got from him was that he was rushed, and it was get down to business. There was no, hey, how's it going? I'm going to take you here tonight. It was always fast, and it was keep up, keep up, keep up, keep up. I can literally hear him snap his fingers. Keep up, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. All right, you ready? Let's go. That's how he was. And at the end, he got a little bit more patient. He as far as like, you know, remember, you're not going to remember these words as you're waking up. Repeat it over and over and over again till you can repeat it in the recorder.
Now, I know that this is all, you know, a lot of this is private and it's personal and the notes are personal. But is there one thing that you can share with us from Bill that really sticks out and that was, you know, not only shocking for you, but is something that we need to hear?
He just wanted people to know the truth. He didn't like the lying. He didn't like the BS. He would refer to people as sheeple.
Right.
And wanted people to wake up, and people had no idea what was going on behind the scenes, and they're going to need someone to explain it to them in a way that they could understand, and you know, blah blah blah. He just his need to get the truth out is what I kept feeling from him. He didn't seem like if he was alive and had a conversation with him. We're going back and forth. He didn't seem like he would be such a bad guy. He just seemed like he had something to do, and he was on borrowed time. Like he didn't have a lot of time to do what we had to do, and he was upset that I not upset, but you could tell that it's like, okay, we got to jam a lot in a short period of time. Keep up, let's go.
That is so interesting, and because of the chemtrail issues, the ET agenda, the government and who is running the government stuff that he spoke about so often, but then there is you. And what was he expecting for you to do, and what would be the platform for you to go out and get his message out there? That's
what I question that all the time to this day. What would I be able to do other than speak about it? And where would it be different for me where I wouldn't meet the same fate as you did?
Well, because you would also have to find somebody that would know who Bill Cooper is, right? That the message is important. And then you have to find somebody that can turn around and get your message out there. And one would wonder, I mean, is that me? Is that Coast to Coast? Is that somebody else that you're communicating with? Is there some kind of coincidence or synchronicity going on? And why you? I mean, that is an unbelievable, you know, situation to put you in.
Yeah, we've met. You've seen me. We hung out at Alien Snow Fest, and you know, we went there. I was giving readings to people at the party and stuff. It seemed like he felt that people would be able to relate to me easier than they would to other. I mean, you see other, not to diss or to bag on other psychics or mediums, but their whole approach to things is a little far out there.
Right.
I mean, people are probably listening to this and they're like, oh my God, you sound far out there, but
right.
You come and get a reading from me. I'm looking you right dead in your eye. I am not about, no disrespect, but I'm not about love and light I want to tell you what you need to hear, and then you can ask me questions afterward. But let me get the message out to you. This is what I'm getting for you right then. There's no BS with it.
Right.
I think he liked that approach too. And I always get that, you know, you're 6'2", you're so tall, but when you speak very calm. It's comforting. It's calming to people. They can see the seriousness in it, as well as, you know, the way I deliver it in a way that's not too much. I know how to handle the people that I'm reading.
Right. We'll be right back. Our guest tonight, Chris Medina. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Saturday night, your calls next. I do a show Monday through Thursday. It's called Fade to Black, and it's live. It's from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific. And if you'd like to check it out, It's all about the world of conspiracies and everything that we talk about every single night. You know me. It's good stuff. Just go and click on my name, Coast to Coast. It's right there. Click on it. Take you over to the website. Check out our guests. Check out what we do. It's fun. It's cool. But you get to do that for 3 hours, and it rolls right up into Coast to Coast. So you get 7 hours. 7 hours of conspiracy and paranormal and consciousness, all the good stuff. That's what I'm talking about. Our guest tonight, Chris Medina. I do want to thank David Omen for coming on earlier, the Omen House. Chris Medina is with us. We're going to roll out the show right now with the rest of your phone calls. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast. Guest tonight, Chris Medina. Chris, we've got calls backed up, so let's just bang these out right before the 2 o'clock hour strikes here in Los Angeles. Let's go to Chris in Ferguson. Chris, you're up next.
Okay, hi.
Chris, quickly, what have you got okay. for?
Okay, hi, how are you doing? Chris Medina, Jimmy Church. Okay, I've had poltergeist in this house for about a year and a half now. I'd really like to know what this is going on in here and how to get it out of here. You have my phone number. Please call me at any time. Can he answer any of that at all?
Okay, there you go. Chris, how do you get rid of a poltergeist?
I wish I could answer that easily. I would like to know what he means by poltergeist.
Well, it sounds like, he's not with us anymore. So, but how would you get rid? It sounds like something is moving stuff in his house.
I have to kind of back up David on that one, too, a little bit.
I was thinking the same thing. I was totally thinking the same thing. All right, let's go to east of the Rockies, Michelle, Green Bay, Wisconsin. You're up next on Coast.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. My question, Chris, do you think it's possible that people that are diagnosed with schizophrenia, if maybe possibly they are tuning into spirits?
Great question, Michelle. Thank you for that. People diagnosed with schizophrenia, do you think they're connecting to the spirit world?
Jeez, I am actually... getting ready to do something on mental illness versus spirituality. I've had a couple personal experiences that I can explain to you off the air, but you got to be real careful with stuff like that.
Right.
You got to make sure, it is mental illness and people that do the type of work that I do, people that, psychics, mediums, intuitives need to be real careful when they're dealing with stuff like that because you could actually do more harm to that person. Does that make sense? we'll talk about that, Jimmy. It's something that I'm actually working on right now.
Okay. Yeah. And we will have that conversation off the air. And Michelle, have a great, safe Halloween.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Let's do this in order. Let's go to once again, Alice in Hitchcock, Texas. Alice, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thank you for receiving my call. And how are you all? And my question to the psych, I can't think of his name right now.
Chris.
I see flowers, pink flowers, just like in the daytime, blocks that children draw on paper, they pink. And my boyfriend, I see his picture on the kitchen window. I don't see it tonight because my light in the bedroom is off, and if I cut the other lights off, I see it. And I see it every night. Is this, and he named his granddaughter after me, Alice. And is this some kind of connection I'll have with her? And, also, I would like him to take my number, 409.
Hold on. We'll do that off of the air, Alice. I'll put you on hold, and we'll have we'll take that, okay?
And something else I want to say, could he help me get my life straight? Tell me what to do. Look like every time I connect with someone, I disconnect.
Right. Right.
If you understand what I mean.
We do. We do. Well, I'm going to put you on hold, okay, Alice?
Okay.
And we'll get your phone number, and I'll make sure that Chris gets it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much, Alice. Stay right there. Stay right there. Okay, Chris, what do you think about that? The photograph, the flowers.
I could barely hear what she was saying. I couldn't understand her.
Okay, well, yeah, her voice was a little low, but we're getting her phone number right now. And what? Yeah, give Alice a call off of the air and do that because she's really sweet. That was really cool. All right, let's go to Jacob in Parker, Arizona. Jacob, you're up next on Coast.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I was just calling to share a couple experiences I had in a dream.
Okay.
And the story that he was saying earlier reminded me of a dream I had about where he talked to the guy on the radio in his dream, or it sounded like he was coming through on the radio.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it was my dad that called me. He passed away at the age of 71. And answered my phone, and this was in a dream, and he had asked me what time I was coming home, and I said, where are you at? And he goes, I'm down here at the house. And then I said I'm over here at mom's, and I said something about like I couldn't make it or something, and he had gotten mad and hung up on me. And that was one of the first dreams I had about him. And then a second dream, I was sitting on the couch, and I was by myself, and to my left, there was a mirror on the wall, and I looked over at that mirror, and he was sitting next to me, and it startled me, and I kind of made a sound. I was like, oh, and he was looking at me in the mirror, and he goes, what? And I said, I looked back, and in real life, he wasn't there, you know, but in the mirror, he was, and I said, you ain't really here, and he got mad, and he goes, yes, I am here, son. And
well, Jacob, let me jump in before we run out of time. Do you have a question for Chris?
Well, I wanted to share those two experiences, and since then, he hasn't, like, visited me in any dreams in a long time.
Right.
And I was wondering, like why, and, like, is he, like, is there a way I could, like, try to contact him myself?
Okay, fair.
Or if he's mad at me about something or something like that.
Right, right. Fair enough, Jacob.
Really weird.
Yeah, and Chris, what do you think about the dead or the deceased or family members making phone calls?
Making phone calls? This was in a dream that he got the phone call, right?
Right. Yeah, what is the significance of that? Yeah.
Trying to get his attention on something. Where were you at when your dad passed away?
Well, no, he's no longer with us.
Oh, okay.
Jacob's no longer here.
Yeah, I would want to know.
Jacob, are you still there? Okay, no, Jacob's not with us.
Jacob, email me if you're still listening.
Yeah, I thought I heard him hang up, but I just looked and he was still here, but no, he was. He was gone.
Yeah, there's something that he's trying to convey that he's not paying attention to, and I feel like there was kind of a strain on the relationship there too.
Right.
I don't want to put all his business out there, but yeah, if you're out there still listening, Chris at chrismedina.guide, email me, and I'd be more than happy to go over a couple things with you.
All right, let's go west of the Rockies, Mike in Reno, Nevada. Mike, you're up next on Coast.
Hey, I have two things. The first one, when I was younger, I would always have this situation where I'd like be in bed or somewhere just relaxing, and everything would get unbelievably amplified. Like just my finger moving 1 inch on the sheets would just be blaringly loud. And I always wondered what that could be.
And what was the second question?
The second thing is in the past 3 or 4 years, I've had sleep paralysis like 5 times, and it's kind of scary, and I just wondered what that is.
Yeah, the old sleep paralysis. Thank you, sir.
It lasts like a minute.
Yeah. Thank you for the phone call, Mike. Right. Have a great, safe Halloween. Sleep paralysis. You know, Chris, that may be out of your area of expertise, but have you experienced it?
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's crazy when it happens.
Yeah, I'm thinking with him. With him, I'd like to discuss his health with him. There's a physical health issue that he suffers from too. So I would have to, you know, without talking to you know in depth about it, there's some sort of connection with his physical condition versus how it plays out when his body is relaxing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Like spasms, things like it seems more physical than spiritual with him.
Right.
Condition.
Right. Let's go to the wild card line. John, Long Beach, California. Welcome to Coast. You're up next.
Thank you. This reminds me of Stephen Wright joke. He said he almost had a psychic girlfriend, but she broke up with him before they met.
Right.
But anyway, I have two questions real quick. One, just do you believe in reincarnation? And if so, if you believe in it, do you think that sometimes people that are reincarnation, the ghost might be yourself from a previous life that has some sort of soul connection to you still because it's you in a different life? If you think of that, I mean, that could be one aspect of ghost and tying in with reincarnation.
Sure.
I 100% believe in reincarnation. I actually met somebody that I knew in the past, not too long ago, about a year ago, I met at a show.
Could it be you is my question. Could it be you in another life that is coming back for some reason?
Huh, that's interesting. Thank you for the phone call, John. That's great. Could it be you? Could it be you in a past life?
I haven't experienced that. I've experienced people from a past life that I knew from a past life, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like I instantly knew that I picked up everything from that person, what they were like in that past, what their purpose was this time around, what
right.
role I played in that person's life, and what role they played in that life. As
right.
well. But not me being that person.
Right, right. And how many times does it happen? And the last time through, where would you go if you weren't going to be reincarnated again? Does it happen somewhere else? You know, another planet in the solar system. I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
In the universe, in the galaxy.
I haven't experienced that. You don't finish it. You come back.
Right.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. All right, let's see. I'm going to take this in order. Let's go to first-time caller line, James, Bloomington. James, you're up next.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good, James. What do you got?
Like 20 years ago, I was messing with a Ouija board.
Ugh.
And, yeah, we contacted something, and I, like, pissed it off. And it's been following me.
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to know how to get rid of it. Chris, how do you get rid of a spirit that you contact through a Ouija board? I mean, first off, Ouija boards just are not a good idea, are they?
Oh, no, not at all. Mm-mm. I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday about it.
Do you have one at your house?
Nope.
Would you?
I have not played with a Ouija board since I was about 10 years old.
I give you a Ouija board for Christmas this year. What do you do with it? Give it back?
I accidentally forget it at the studio or your house.
Yeah, right? Should a Ouija board box have used by professionals only, right?
Yeah, people knock it. They're like, well, how can you would be surprised. And if you think, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, you look at all the horror movies that you know, Conjuring and all the Exorcist.
Right.
They started all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, I've never heard yet, and I mean, I have done thousands and thousands of phone calls. Thousands. I mean, I have no idea. I've never had a good Ouija board call. I've never had somebody, you know, just go, hey, you know what? Ouija board, flowers came out of it, and I won $1,000. It's never that kind of story. It's just never fun.
Yeah, the way it worked for me is it would tell me, it was attracted to my energy as a kid. It got to the point where my mom would throw the board away, and I would go and make one out of cardboard, my own.
How does it work for you when you see somebody? The aura, can you tell if somebody's a good person or a bad person? Are they like red and blue or pink? How does that work?
I pick up on their energy. I don't see auras hardly ever. It's more of a feeling that I get, or just looking at them in their eye, the eyes tell me everything about a person.
And how about with me? Did you find out, did you see pretty positive stuff right away and realize that I was actually a good guy underneath this this gruff, rough outside?
I didn't want to overextend my services to you. That's what I got. that you would come to me if you had a question or you needed something.
You know what's funny? You bring up a really good point. I've never done that with you. We've just been friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So would you
get you on Halloween night?
Yeah. Well, you know what? See, if you make that announcement here on the air, everybody's going to know where I'm at. And there's going to be a mob. Do you really want that? So let's kind of go on the down low with that.
Okay.
But I will say this. Chris and I are going to be at a little Halloween get-together. And I don't know if you know this, Chris, yet, but I'll announce it here on Coast. We'll be posting some pictures. But I'm going to be Elvis from Aloha from Hawaii via satellite. I'm going to be that Elvis. I was going to go a little bit later, the heavier Elvis, because that's more of my physique, right? I was going to do that Elvis, but I'm going to go back. So I'm going to try to be the good-looking, skinny Elvis from Hawaii. So, and there you go. What are you going to dress up for Halloween this year?
I'm going to try to be a normal person for Halloween this year.
You can't.
Yeah, I know. That's what's going to make the costume so good.
Well, see, but that's, you're going to be the opposite of what you are. So that's okay. That's a Halloween. I could see that. But maybe just put some blood on your face, and that's all you have to do. And then you could be just be a normal guy.
Or something. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Chris, what's the best way for everybody to go and chase you down?
Chase me down at Chris. Medina.guide. That's my website. Follow me Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Psychic Chris M.
It's that simple.
We over the phone readings, Skype readings, in person readings, depending on where you're at. But yeah, ChrisMedina.guide.
Thank you so much, Chris. Be safe out there, and I'm going to talk to you and see you in the next couple of days. Thank you so much, Chris, and be safe.
Always a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
You're the best. Chris Medina. Now, as we roll out of here, I'd like to thank, of course, David Omen, Chris Medina. Absolutely two amazing conversations tonight. And thank you to all of the callers who phoned home. And, of course, we've got to do special thanks to Nathan for being Nathan. Thank you, Donna, for doing your thing behind the glass. And, of course, Chris, Lisa, Stephanie, Sean, Tim, George, and Tom. Tomorrow night, George Knapp is going to be here, and his guests will be Jules Erbach and Tony Hendra. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Until we meet again, everybody be safe. Go Beckley Tepe.